amen. I met Brother Paul the first time in Heflin, Alabama, by the way of a blue light. Miss Renee had a town car at that time. I'd been preaching a revival somewhere, and I was soaking wet and hurrying home. I come right through Heflin, had somebody with me, had my lights on bright in a big old long town car, Brother Jake. You know, the hood on long as these pews. And I looked up, blue light behind me, and I forget who was with me. I think it was a preacher. I said, well, we can be like Paul and Silas tonight, preaching at the midnight hour, amen. Throwed in the jail cell. But he let me go, and the first time I ever met him, he's been a friend, and I appreciate that. I mean, aren't you glad that not only God's got grace, and police got grace? Somebody saying, go on now, help me preach tonight. Yeah, man, thank God some police got some grace in them. Amen. It'd help you to get you some. You'd be a lot easier to live with if you'd get you some grace tonight. Boy, I'd hate to live if somebody had me under the law. Yep, man, thank God for the grace of God. Come to where I was, couldn't get to Him. Sure, I'm glad He got to where I was and drew me by His love and mercy. And He said, if you really want me, you can have me. I'm glad He come my way. And I thank God He turned the blue light on and arrested me of my sins and my condition. And I'm glad that He gave me a ticket. But it was a ticket of grace to get me under in glory land. Not in a jail cell, but the glory land. I'm glad the great sheriff come my way. I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. And I'm glad I do. I'm glad I got arrested by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad He showed me I was a sinner. And I've never got over the ticket that He gave me. I love Him and I praise Him for it tonight. In your Bibles, in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 21, if you want to stand, you're probably a little tired. I'm not going to preach too long tonight. Long in my watch may be different than yours, but it won't be very long. Revelation 21, verse number 1, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride prepared, as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He'll dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne, He said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I like what He told John. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thank you for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Our precious Lord, we sure are thankful for these that have come tonight. Lord, they put their trust and hope in Your Son, and we're grateful, Lord, that You're saving, O sinners. Help us now tonight to preach. I pray, Lord, You let preaching be easy for me. I sure do need You, God. Would You fill me with Your Spirit and empty me of myself? Help me to be a blessing to Your people tonight. If it be one here lost and undone without Christ, would You draw them by Your mercy and Your grace? And, Lord, we'll ever be careful to see and to realize where our help comes from. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Tonight, I want to say I've never been this homesick before. I'm glad that there are some things that trouble us here that can't follow us home. I don't know about anybody, but I have trouble here. Boy, I have trouble. You'll notice in your Bible in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now, we're strangers and pilgrims to this world. Can I tell you that if you're a stranger, you ought to not be blending into the world. Tonight, we live in a time and a society when the world has come into the church. But Jesus said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." We're not better than nobody, but I sure am glad that I'm an old sinner saved by the grace of God. Glad my sins are gone, and I'm glad I've got a better place to go to. That world's not my friend, it's not your friend. Boy, we live in a day and hour I've never been this homesick before. Our president believes in same-sex marriage. The Bible says it is an abomination in the eyes of God. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't agree with that." Then you better read your Bible. Because God's still against sin. Boy, I've never been this homesick before. I was reading here in this, and I see some things tonight I sure am glad that won't follow me home. Aren't you glad you got a home yonder in glory land tonight? Brother Paul, won't it be a blessing when we get there? And boy, we've preached a lot of sermons about this place, and we've told people about the dearest friend we've ever had, but we've never really done it justice. But one day, we get to go to the city where the builder and the maker is God, and there are some things that will not follow me home. And I sure am glad of that tonight. I've never been this homesick before. I love going on vacation, but there's no place like home. Somebody say amen. Boy, we just booked our vacation as a family. And so I asked my wife, I said, "Well, how many nights do we need to book?" She said, "Well, now, hon, about 4 nights together under one roof will be enough for all of us." Somebody say amen right there. Boy, it's no place like vacation, but I sure am glad we got a good place to go to. I was reading about a story about a little old boy. He went to camp. And so he pulled out his cell phone and he called his mama. And he said, "Mama," he said, "I wish you'd come get me." She said, "Why, hon, are you homesick?" He said, "No, I'm sick here." Can I tell you, I've never been this homesick before. And I am sick here. And I want to go to my home there. I want to say, first of all, tonight, by the good grace of God, you'll find out some things that cannot follow us home. I'm glad sorrow can't follow us home. The Bible said this in verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Sorrow. It refers to sorrow or grief of any kind. All pains, troubles, and heartaches. Has your heart ever been broke? I sure am glad there's some things won't follow me home, Brother Marty. Boy, I tell you, I've walked in some hard places with families as a pastor. This Christmas morning, we'll be here 18 years. And I'm going to tell you, I've walked in too many closed rooms, tried to give too many people sympathy, try to help them, to console them, and do the best thing I know to do. But let me tell you, I sure am glad I got a place to go to that sorrow won't follow me home. Boy, there'll be no more sorrow. And then he said crying. That's an outburst or an outcry. It's when you're overwhelmed with the events of life. Paul said that there's times that I'm overwhelmed. He said, "Lord, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I'm glad I got a place to go to tonight when I'm overwhelmed. Honey, it's not a baptismal pool. It's not a church membership. But I'm glad I can go to the God of glory. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is on the right hand as my intercessor tonight. I'm glad that He's pleading the case for me. And I'm glad I've got a friend in Jesus. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm glad I got a place I can go to. And certainly He says pain. Anybody had a kidney stone, you can preach with me tonight. Boy, pain. That means toil or great trouble. Diseases and disappointments and disaster. A lot of you have had many pains, but aren't you glad that pains won't follow us home? Boy, isn't it something when you get up in the morning and your shadows are hurting you? A lot of you are familiar with that. Amen. And you young folks, you ought to go ahead and get used to that jumping off rooftops and climbing ladders and falling down and getting up and climbing again. You better get used to all that young stuff. Because if God tarries His coming and lets you live, you're going to find pain in this life. And He said no more pain. Then He used the word tears. Sorrows follow us here. Sorrows and trouble. Oh, it's here, but I sure am glad that this tears cannot follow me home. What are you talking about? Well, there'll be no broken hearts. There'll be no broken homes. It's amazing what little old young'uns is living in tonight. I thank the Lord for a good, godly Christian home where there's a man and a woman married in love with Jesus, raising their babies around the house of God. Boy, I'm glad I've got a home. Let me tell you something. You say, preacher, I hadn't got that. I know where you can find one here. Look around. And you would see when folks come prayed a while ago, others come prayed with them. You said, how come they done that? Because it won't be long. They'll be on their knees and others be praying for them. You see, trouble comes every place. Man that's born of woman is a few days in full trouble. Boy, we need each other. I'm glad I've got a church family tonight. Thank the Lord I've got a church family. No more broken hearts, no broken homes, no broken hopes. I sure am glad sorrow can't follow me home. Number two, I'm glad Satan can't follow me home. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, the devil has many names and it reveals his nature. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. Well, the devil will accuse you of things. And you know, sometimes he's right about us. But aren't you glad that we got a God in heaven that's forgiven us by the blood of His Son? There's nobody in this building perfect. You say, I'm a good person. You're not good enough to go to heaven. Jesus says, there's none good, no, not one. Hey, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that Satan will not follow me home. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's our adversary. He's not your friend. He's got a lot of young people hoodwinked. You ever notice how the devil paints a pretty billboard, but he don't show you the backside of it. He'll show you the nice Clydesdale horses pulling the nice Budweiser beer. And young boys, he'll show you the pretty babes. And young ladies, he'll show you the hotties tonight. But let me tell you, he won't show you the backside. When mom and daddy's a-weeping their way to God, out yonder in the morgue and your babies is killed by a drunk driver. Hey, he's your adversary. He's a trickster. And you don't need the devil tonight. Boy, he's hoodwinked this whole world. I realize sin is fun, but honey, there's a payday coming someday. And sin is just for a season. You look at that Hollywood crowd. They're the most miserable people in the world. I'll tell you who the happiest people is in the world. Somebody that's got Jesus in the heart and knows that they know that their name's written down yonder in glory land. Thank God. I'd rather be in a pair of overalls and Brogan shoes, not have a dollar in the bank, but to know that my name's yonder in glory land. Thank God I can know I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Glory to God. Boy, the devil's tricked this whole world in a whirlwind. Get. When you get, look what you got. Nothing. I like what Jesus told them boys one night out fishing. They followed Peter. He ought to stay put. He said, I go a fishing. They said, well, we go with you. Amen. Now, it does matter what you do because you're affecting other people. I've heard a lot say, well, preacher, you're one of them fire-breathing preachers and you need to leave me alone. I'm not hurting nobody but myself. That's the biggest lie you've ever told. If I do something, it affects other people. If you do something, you affect other people. And Peter said, I go fishing, and he carried a crowd with him. And I love what Jesus done. About dark 30, he said, hey, boys, y'all got anything? And they must have been from Bowden because they said, no. Not real hard to understand this King James Bible. No. I love what Jesus told them. I tell you what he ought to have done. He ought to have said, come here, boy. I got something to make you remember what I told you. But now he said, what y'all got? They said, nothing. Nothing. He said, if you'll cast on the right side, you shall find. They said, well, I guess we'll try that. Boy, they throwed it on the right side and they could not draw it for the multitude of fish. And you know what John said? Peter, I told you so. It's the Lord. I tell you what I'm amazed about. As close as John was to God, why would he even follow Simon Peter? He is one always leaning on his bosom. Why do you think John's gospel is the deepest gospel we have? Because he had his ear to the heartbeat of God. He could hear things the other disciples could not hear. It's a blessing to be close to God. Tonight, if you're on the left side, you can get on the right side by the good grace of God. He didn't, hey, I like it. He didn't sink their boat. He didn't bring them in and whip them. He said, hey, children, have you any meat? He ought to say, you sorry rascals. You ought to have stayed put down there till I told you to move. But he said, this how good I am. Cast it on the right side now. Sure. Ain't that just like our God? When we get to acting goofy and we ought to sink and we ought not have nothing to eat right on time, here he comes and he gives us a word. He says, children, what y'all got? I sure am glad when it reminds me what I can do. Nothing. See, he didn't change where they was fishing. He changed how they was fishing. What we ought to do is quit asking God to bless what we're doing and get in on what he's blessing. You know what he blesses? Preaching. A lot of folks done got in the drama teams and the laser shows. But I think last time I read over there in that King James Bible, he said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Preaching still gets the job done. You say, I don't like preaching. That's why he designed it, so you wouldn't mess the church up. Amen. You ain't got to be ugly to people. A good sermon cures a lot of building programs. Old Pastor Bowman. Won't you learn to say, amen. Throw your little hand up toward heaven. I got more to show you in your Bible where you can praise him than where you not to be quiet. Some of y'all sit like it. Lord, they've just pulled snakes out. We don't handle snakes here. We just turn the preaching up and throw them in the fire. Boy, I'm glad Satan won't follow me home. Brother Paul, Brother Marty, you ever thought about this? Brother Mike, you ever thought about this? Brother Joe, this morning I was preaching on Nehemiah. I went home, laid in the bed, and the devil said, "Hey, you crazy. You believe all that you said this morning? Won't it be a blessing when we get there and he won't be there? We can run around in a glorified body shouting. What y'all going to do? Y'all don't like a loud noise at church. What y'all going to do when you get to heaven? You think there's a shouting side and a quiet side? What, you going to be fish out of water if somebody don't teach you how to worship? I come up under Brother Marty. He taught me how to worship. I was in them dried, stiff-necked churches, you know. Nobody's supposed to get emotional. You know, God just saved us, got us out of hell. I wouldn't shout much about that. But now I'd go down yonder and I'd holler and nobody could hear me about a pig skin. And when little Johnny's up the bat a-swinging, I'd really get excited about all that. But I wouldn't get excited because Jesus saved me. Brother Marty, I owe it to you teaching me how to worship. Boy, I tell you, I sure am glad we got a church where we can worship. Hey, there ain't no big ones, ain't no little ones. Jesus is the head. He's the master. Boy, he is worthy of all of our praise. Won't it be a blessing? No more Satan. No more little old young'uns hoodwinked and took off to a far country. No more drug and doping. Oh, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I sure am glad some things won't follow me home. I'm glad sorrow won't follow me home. I'm glad Satan won't follow me home. And I want to say, thirdly tonight, I sure am glad that sin won't follow me home. You see, there's coming a day. In verse 2, he said, "Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, sin, you can't follow me home. There's coming a day when God's bride will be presented without spot or wrinkle. I'm glad the church is His bride. He's the bridegroom. You see, I've been saved from the penalty of sin. John 5 and 24. Sure, I'm glad I'm saved from the penalty of sin. Some of you are still on the penalty of sin, and you're going to wake up in hell with it on you. John 5, verse number 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Romans 8 and verse number 1. "I've been saved from the penalty of sin by the man on the cross. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I'm glad the day I got saved, I was baptized in the family of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. I'm glad I was placed in the body of His darling bride. The Holy Spirit put me in the family of God. The moment I believed, the Holy Spirit dealt with me, convicted me, convinced me, and converted me. You got to get lost before you get saved. There's now no condemnation to them, what? Which are in Christ Jesus. Not in a certain denomination. To them which are in Christ Jesus. The day that I believed, the Holy Spirit placed me in Christ and placed Christ in me by the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. I sure am glad I'm in him and he's in me. So what are you saying? Well, sin can't follow me home. There's the penalty of sin. I'm glad it's been removed from me. I'm glad Jesus has took that penalty of sin. And then the power of sin. Romans 6 and verse number 14. Did you know that there is no reason for a child of God to be addicted according to the Word of God? Because there is a power that is in you that can break addiction. Christians have addictions, but I'm going to tell you the power of God can break addictions. Certainly we see the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. Romans 6, verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion or reign over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. Preacher, you really believe once saved, always saved? I believe with all my heart. You see, I'm not living good to get there. There's nothing good in me. I'm in Christ. He's taking me there. Matter of fact, he said he's going to seal me with the earnestness of the Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, was a stamp, said he's going to put his stamp on us. What is that? That's of the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Holy Spirit of God, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not going to the heaven I'm going to. You got to have the Spirit of God. Now, some are more freely with it than others. Now, I wonder, do some even have him? Am I doing all right? I know it's loud Christians and quiet Christians. I know some Christians run, shout, and holler. Some just cry. Just sit there and weep, and they just as saved as I am. Let me tell you something, friend. If somebody big as God moves in you, you'll know it. You see, I'm going to get to this last point here. Since I got saved, I've not always done right, but I've always wanted to. Before I got saved, it didn't bother me to do wrong. I come up in a good house with mom and daddy. I know they whooped young'uns back then. I had a good conscience. But listen, you can't count on your conscience. It could be seared. And so I sure am glad sin won't follow me home. Watch this now. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I've been saved from the power of sin. Sin don't have to possess me and hold me no longer. But when we get there, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. Romans 7:15, Paul had a battle with his flesh. He was a saved man. You know what? You'll have a battle with your flesh. I have a battle with my flesh. Y'all ever lose your temper? You ever say something that you shouldn't say? Anybody ever pull out in front of you and you shake your fist at them and you got on your back of your bumper, "Follow me to Liberty Baptist Church"? I mean, you done acted crazy. Boy, won't it be a blessing, Brother Lee, when we get to heaven and there'll be no sin. Can you imagine in a glorified body and no temptations, no carnality, boy, no cravings? Well, wouldn't that be a blessing, Brother Paul, when we got saved? Our mind would have got saved and it never would hit rewind. But when we get there, friend, there'll be no sin there because it's a holy city. And I want to close with this tonight. Some things that will not follow me home. I sure am glad that sorrow won't follow me home. I'm glad Satan can't follow me home. I'm glad sin can't follow me home. I won't have to put up this flesh no more. You ever said something to your wife and you wished you hadn't said it? You ever said something to somebody and you know, angry words is like a bullet come out of a gun. You just can't take it back. You done it. Boy, I'm glad we won't have to fool with this sinful body no more. Then I'm going to say this, sinner, you can't follow me home. You see, in verse number 8, the Bible said, but the fearful and the unbelieving. That is the two key components to this verse. That is the high step, and it starts to go down. You see, if you are an unbeliever, and if you're too fearful to believe, you can't follow me home. There's probably some folks in this building tonight has probably never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, the most religious man in the Bible, John chapter number 3, came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these things except God be with them. And Jesus said, you must be born again. He is a religious man. Religion's not going to get you to heaven. Doing good, there's none good. No, not one. As good a church as you're sitting in tonight, it won't get you there. My two girls, all they've ever known is a daddy preaching. That's all my girls can even remember. But let me tell you what, daddy can't get them there. They got to believe upon their own. You see, in the book of Ephesians, I want you to look there 1 second, and we're going to be closing. Miss Julie, I want you to get something tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us. God's so full of mercy. You remember the things that you've done and He forgave you for it? And you know, I don't care what you've done, I don't care how long you've been doing it, the blood of Jesus can wash you clean tonight. He says, whosoever, I'm glad it's a whosoever gospel. He says, whatsoever in the gospel of John. He don't care what you've done, He can forgive you for it. But listen to me, it's not whensoever. It's when the Spirit of God deals with your heart. When God knocks on your heart and shows you that you need a Savior. What are you saying, preacher? Well, sinner, you can't follow me home. Matter of fact, the man that is pastoring the largest church in America will not make a dogmatic statement of what I'm fixing to say. The Bible says heaven is sweet and hell is hot. The Bible said that He created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't create it for you. So when you die and go to hell, you can't blame it on God. He did all He could do to keep you out of that terrible place. He put the best thing He had, that was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He put Him on a cross and He took your sin and my sin, and He put it on His Son, and He turned the lights off in heaven. And when He turned them back on, Christ said, it is finished. And you know that thief on the cross that day? Did you know in Luke's gospel, you'll find out that he said, Lord, remember me. And you know what Jesus said? The thief hanging by Him today, shalt thou be with me in paradise? He didn't get baptized. He didn't join a church. You know what he done? By faith he believed in the Son of God. Boy, I remember that morning. That old preacher, Brother Elmer Cason. Any of you old timers ever know Brother Elmer Cason? He's the pastor of my dad-in-law. Went to church. And I said, little boy, I'd been baptized. And whether people believed it or not, I was a good boy. Just with the wrong crowd. Brother Randall, that old preacher, come up my driveway that Saturday and he scared me to death when I looked out to see who he was. He come in and told me about the love of God. When he left, Brother Vince, something happened that had never happened to me. God stayed. He got in the bed with me, and that bed got narrow that night. I woke up that morning, and boy, conviction was heavy on me, and I knew I was lost. I knew my wife was saved, and I knew I wasn't going to heaven. Well, Brother Elmer preached that morning. Papa, I don't even know what he preached. I couldn't no more tell you right now what he preached another. But I'll tell you the most important thing happened in my life. God convicted me of my sins. And I was on this third pew at Sandy Flat Baptist Church. And Brother Marty, when I did this, God saved me, Brother Paul. And now I know that my name is written down. You say, preacher, are you perfect? Well, I'm in Christ. That's pretty good standing. Preacher, are you fleshly? Oh, I sure am. But I'm saved. Now I'm glad sorrow can't follow me home. Glad Satan and sin. Sinner, you can't follow me home. But you could tonight if you trust Christ. If you come fall at His feet, call upon one that loves you. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the Son. You have to receive Christ yourself. My sister's going to sing. This altar's open. Maybe you got some trouble with sorrow tonight. Mama, Daddy, aren't you glad you can go to a place where it won't follow you home? Satan may be on your trail, Christian friend, but I'm glad we've got a place that can't follow us home. Sinner, it's up to you whether you follow me home or not. As we sing tonight, our altar's open. Whatever you need in your life, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I'd come. Whatever you need around the house, I'd come trust Him with it tonight.